Chapter 3. Polygamy. Now I had a problem. If men and women are equal, what about all the things that are unequal? What about polygamy and veiling and men being in charge of the women and on and on? Well, there was only one thing to do. Take each bull by the horns. One by one, I have wrangled with them all. Some it has taken me years to resolve, and with some, I still have occasional little question marks swimming in my head. So now, let's bring out the first and worst, polygamy. Polygamy. The very word sent chills down my spine. Among my friends and sisters, this is the scariest aspect of Islam. The thought of having to share your husband with another woman terrifies the married and unmarried alike. Even those who say they never want to marry find the very thought of polygamy disgusting. Before we go any further, let me reassure you that the Quran does not advocate whole-scale polygamy. As we will see, it is mentioned within a social context and given very rigid boundaries. However, we must also recognize that our attitudes are deeply affected by, that's right, our old friend culture. Strange as it may seem to us, there are societies where polygamy is readily accepted, and sometimes even requested by the women. You might find it interesting to read some of the stories of Mormon polygamous marriages. I was quite astonished by the obvious affection multiple wives can have for each other and the strength with which they support this aspect of their faith. Of course, not all polygamous marriages are good, no matter what society we are talking about. Then, neither are all monogamous ones. In cases where polygamous marriages are good, the women can be loving support for one another. In a hostile environment, such support might mean the difference between survival and death. For early Mormon settlers, it often meant the difference between isolated loneliness and caring female companionship. Serious objection to Mormon polygamy did not come mainly from Mormon women, but from outside the community. In fact, it seems to have been one of the major causes, if not the major cause, for the terrible persecution of this group. However, some of the Old Testament prophets, for example, Jacob, David, and Solomon, had more than one wife. Thus, to the Mormons, polygamy is clearly allowed by God. Polygamy was an accepted way of life in the era of the Old Testament. I am not aware of anything in the New Testament that forbids it, but in his letters, Paul seems to indicate that marrying only once is preferred. One of the requirements he gives for becoming either a bishop or a presbyter is that the candidate be married only one time. This would include polygamous situations as well as remarriage after divorce. Please see 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:6. Now, what about polygamy in Islam? We are all familiar with the typical stereotype of the Arab sheikh with his harem. In many parts of the Muslim world, this stereotype is quite valid, and polygamy is an expected way of life. In these areas, multiple wives indicate a man's wealth and social position. There is a general understanding among Muslims that a man may have up to 4 wives at one time, although in some situations, the older wives may lose some of their status when new wives come into the family, the first wife traditionally retains a special position. It is not only Mormon women who have positive experiences in polygamous marriages. When I was first being introduced to Islam, I had a friend from Turkey who shared her childhood experience with polygamy. She had grown up next door to a polygamous family where the husband had 2 wives. The 2 wives were like sisters to each other, clearly loving each other dearly. For the children, it was wonderful because they essentially had 2 mothers. Such a situation could be very good. However, I think it would take a special mix of people to make it work, and a great deal of work on everyone's part to keep things fair and loving. Clearly, such fairness and consideration are not always the case. I am sure you've heard the same kind of horror stories I have. You may also have friends who have been approached by foreign Muslims looking for American wives, though they have families at home. Sometimes lust even controls the religion, and not the other way around. A dear friend from India recently mentioned that men there often convert to Islam simply because they can legally marry more than one woman. These are some of the tamer forms of acceptable polygamy. They are culturally acceptable, not necessarily Quranically acceptable, however. As I reassured you earlier, the Quran mentions polygamy within a social context. If you deem it best for the orphans, you may marry their mothers. You may marry 2, 3, or 4. If you fear lest you become unfair, then you shall be content with only one, or with what you already have. Additionally, you are thus more likely to avoid financial hardship. Quran, the Final Testament, 4:3. Clearly, when you have a society that is physically under attack, and there are large numbers of widows with children, a means must be provided to care for them. Polygamy offers a refuge and emotional support within a family setting and a father figure for otherwise fatherless children. Looked at from this angle, maybe polygamy is not such a bad idea, at least for widows and orphans. But what about the poor original wife and her children? The Quran says that the husband must be perfectly fair in dealing with his wives. If he is afraid he cannot be, he should not get into the situation. This next verse makes it clear that being fair is really impossible. You can never be equitable in dealing with more than one wife, no matter how hard you try. Quran, the Final Testament, 4:129. The two verses together really discourage polygamy. One tells men that they must be fair in dealing with their wives, and the other tells them that they cannot ever really do that. It seems to me that this leaves very few circumstances where polygamy can be practiced within the guidelines of the Quran. It certainly does not mean that a man can put aside his old wife and marry a pretty young woman to boost his ego. Almost all of the translations of these Quranic verses that I have read indicate that monogamy is preferable under most circumstances. I would certainly agree. Clearly, the circumstances need to be unusual to warrant polygamy. Whatever those circumstances, if the husband is not certain that he can be perfectly fair to all parties, he should not take the chance of going against the Quran, thus harming his soul and bringing pain to his family. I have reproduced here one of the most rational approaches I have found on the issue of polygamy. It comes from Appendix 30, entitled Polygamy, of Rashad Khalifa's 1992 translation of the Quran. I found it very helpful to read this viewpoint from a man who grew up in a Muslim culture. Polygamy. Polygamy was a way of life until the Quran was revealed 1400 years ago. When the earth was young and underpopulated, polygamy was one way of populating it and bringing in the human beings needed to carry out God's plan. By the time the Quran was revealed, the world had been sufficiently populated, and the Quran put down the first limitations against polygamy. Polygamy is permitted in the Quran, but under strictly observed circumstances. Any abuse of this divine permission incurs severe retribution. Thus, although polygamy is permitted by God, it behooves us to examine our circumstances carefully before saying that a particular polygamous relationship is permissible. Our perfect example here is the Prophet Muhammad. He was married to one wife, Khadija, until she died. He had all his children except one from Khadija. Thus, she and her children enjoyed the Prophet's full attention for as long as she was married to him, 25 years. For all practical purposes, Muhammad had one wife from the age of 25 to 50. During the remaining 13 years of his life, he married the aged widows of his friends who left many children. The children needed a complete home with a fatherly figure, and the Prophet provided that. Providing a fatherly figure for orphans is the only specific circumstance in support of polygamy mentioned in the Quran, 4:3. Other than marrying widowed mothers of orphans, there were three political marriages in the Prophet's life. His close friends, Abu Bakr and Omar, insisted that he marry their daughters, Aisha and Hafsa, to establish traditional family ties among them. The third marriage was to Maria the Egyptian. She was given to him as a political gesture of friendship from the ruler of Egypt. This perfect example tells us that a man must give his full attention and loyalty in marriage to his wife and children in order to raise a happy and wholesome family. The Quran emphasizes the limitations against polygamy in very strong words. If you fear lest you may not be perfectly equitable in treating more than one wife, then you shall be content with one. 4:3. You cannot be equitable in a polygamous relationship no matter how hard you try. 4:129. The Quranic limitations against polygamy point out the possibility of abusing God's law. Therefore, unless we are absolutely sure that God's law will not be abused, we had better resist our lust and stay away from polygamy. If the circumstances do not dictate polygamy, we had better give our full attention to one wife and one set of children. The children's psychological and social well-being, especially in countries where polygamy is prohibited, almost invariably dictate monogamy. A few basic criteria must be observed in contemplating polygamy. 1. It must alleviate pain and suffering and not cause any pain or suffering. 2. If you have a young family, it is almost certain that polygamy is an abuse. 3. Polygamy to substitute a younger wife is an abuse of God's law. 4:19. Reproduced with kind permission from the Khalifa family from Quran, the Final Testament, Rashad Khalifa, 1992. These are the thoughts of Rashad Khalifa. Again, most of the other translations of the Quran that I have read agree that polygamy should be practiced only in unusual circumstances. One of the things that is most shocking about Islam for many Americans is the concept of polygamy. This was true for the writer of the following story. Invitation to polygamy. Have you ever found your actions to be totally misunderstood? When I was a young woman, I knew nothing about traditional Muslim society, where men and women generally do not interact unless they are from the same family or married. There, women who are very open with men are generally considered to be loose. The first Muslim I ever met was a Palestinian doctoral student studying at the university in my hometown. A family friend in another state had asked my parents to make him feel welcome in our small community. He had come to dinner a couple of times while I was still in high school. When I graduated and went to the university, I would run into him once in a while. I was always very friendly, not realizing that my friendliness was being misread. One day he caught up with me in a deserted hallway and popped the question, asking me to marry him. I was not at all ready to consider getting married, especially to someone I really hardly knew. Not only that, but I knew that he had a wife and a family back home, and I was terribly shocked. "But you have a wife and children already," I finally stammered. "Yes, but they are far away and you are here," he replied, grabbing my wrist. Had I been in anything but a public place, I would have been terrified. As it was, I felt quite threatened. I twisted myself loose and pulled away from him, shaking my head. I don't remember what sparked the tirade that followed. He began to insult me, my parents, the United States. At the time, I was stunned and just wanted to bolt. Now I realize that he probably felt humiliated and was simply venting. Since then, I have met a number of women who have been approached by Muslim men to become second or third wives in polygamous marriages. Not all have had the benefit I had of knowing that the man was already married. Anonymous, USA.